all of those things. And there's a lot of things he's not saying. So, yes, cue music.
I'm trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream with me, getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? My hand, will you share this with me? 'Cause darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough, never be enough.
Deep and speaking tongues. Nope, it's not gospel. These lyrics are from The Greatest Showman, but there's something in here that I want to pull out from it. The lyrics say, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it will never be enough. Never be enough. Many of us are chasing after things that can never be enough. Things that can never satisfy. Today, through the example of an unnamed woman, we are going to learn about how to find true satisfaction. Instead of chasing those things that can never be enough, we're going to chase the one that can truly satisfy. And I have titled this message, Drop the Pot. Drop the Pot. And the main text is from John chapter 4 And I'm going to read from verse 1 to 30. And almost every quotation that I'm going to be reading is from the New King James Version. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though he himself, I'm in John chapter 4, if anyone's still looking. John chapter 4, from verse 1 to 30. I'll start again. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. So in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Should we bow our heads in prayer? Father, Lord God, we just thank you because you just always meet with us, Lord. You always have an appointment with us. And we thank you for your presence here. You've been here from the very beginning. You've been here even with us always, even before we got here. And you will continue to be with us. I pray that every single person who is hearing my voice will hear your voice today and not me, Lord. I pray that every word that you have for every individual here will be received on good soil, Lord. Take away the distractions, Lord. Take away any confusion. take away any barrier to receiving the implanted word of God that is able to save souls. Lord, we pray for transformation, Lord. We pray for growth. We pray for fruit. And only you can do that, Lord. I am your vessel, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just take full control. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Drop the pot. You see, the John chapter 4, verse 1, it starts with the fact that Jesus knew that the Pharisees were busy counting and comparing the number of baptisms that Jesus' disciples had done versus what John's disciples had done. And Jesus is like, I don't have time for this. I'm moving on. And he decides to move on and continue his purpose. He leaves Judea for Galilee. And John emphasizes in verse 4 that he needed to go through Samaria. He had a divine appointment. He had a purpose. He wasn't going to be busy with the comparisons. He wasn't going to be busy with all of that. He's got things to do and he's getting on with them. And he specifically needed to go through Samaria. And the reason why this is very interesting is because it contrasts yet again with what the Pharisees were doing. You see, the Pharisees would take the longer road to avoid any contact with Samaritans. You see, Samaria was a region between Judea and Galilee. And when the northern kingdom was exiled to Assyria, the king Sargon of Assyria repopulated the area with captives from other lands. So the king had taken over that land and he had planted other people from other places that he had taken captive into this land of Samaria. And the intermarriage of these foreigners and the Jews who were there, who had been left in the land, it complicated the ancestry. So Jews were like, no. Although you we come from the same place, you lot are diluted, right? You lot are mixed. You're not pure. You don't have that same holiness that we have. We don't want anything to do with you. You're just not on our level. You're not pure enough. You're not clean enough. You've commingled. You've intermarried with other people. So we don't want anything to do. And the Pharisees would just go all the way around. Even though the shortest route between Judea and Galilee was to go through Samaria, the Pharisees would go all the way around. But Jesus is like, no, I'm going this way. I have an appointment here. In the beginning of John chapter 4, John also highlights the humanity of Jesus. It says Jesus was weary from his journey. And it specifically points out the time that it was the sixth hour, which, according to the commentaries, it says this was about high noon time. And in that region, it was likely to be scorching hot. And I don't know much about this culture, but I do know that, like, some things from what my parents used to teach me about Nigeria, when they used to go to the well, they wouldn't usually go to the well in the middle of the afternoon when it was scorching hot. They would usually rise up early in the morning and go to the well to draw water. And they would need that water for the rest of the day, right? This is water for cooking. This is water for bathing. This is water for doing many other things. But at this particular time, this Samaritan woman is coming to the well in the middle of the day. Some commentaries say maybe she was coming because she didn't want to meet all the other people that usually come in the morning. She wanted to come by herself because maybe people have been talking about her. Maybe she was already an outcast. You know, maybe she was just trying to avoid certain crowds. We don't know. But she's coming in the middle of the day. It's scorching hot. Jesus has been traveling. His disciples have gone off to get some food. And it's at this particular point in time that an interesting discussion begins. And today we're going to be part of that discussion. In verse 7, Jesus initiates the conversation with the woman. He says, "Give me a drink." Jesus has initiated a similar conversation with us some many years ago. Some, he may be initiating that conversation with you today. He says, "Give me your heart. Give me your life." Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me." Jesus is always asking. He's always knocking. And the woman responds, "Why are you speaking with me? Don't you know where I'm from? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? What do you want with me? Why would you want me to give you water? Why would you want anything from me?" And perhaps that's your response to Jesus knocking too. How could I ever be useful? What do I have to offer? Why would a holy God want anything to do with me? David in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 5 says, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." You're saying, "God, why me? What do you want with me? Why are you asking me to give you something?" And that's what she's saying to him. "Why do you want me to give you water? Why are you even talking to me?" And in verse 10, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who is it that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He says, stop thinking about yourself. If you knew who I am, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be talking about, "Why are you talking to me?" You'll be like, "God, I need you. I'll be asking you." He says, you would ask the right questions and I would give you exactly what you need. You see, Jesus is there. He's initiating a conversation with her, but she's still conscious of herself. She's still conscious of her current situation. And Jesus is like, if you knew who it was standing before you, you wouldn't be asking about yourself. You'd be asking, "Give me living water." If you stop thinking about your limitations and start asking for my unlimited resources, how many of you are also sitting there? God is asking you something, and I'm always audacious. I'm assuming that the reason why God has given me this word is because he's trying to confirm something that he's already been saying to you, and there's something that he may have been asking you for, and you have got all of these excuses, all of these reasons, and he's saying, are you thinking about yourself, or are you thinking about who I am? I am the source of living water. Reminds me of the story of Mary, right? When the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a son and she's going to have a baby. She's going to give birth to the Savior of the world. That's in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 37. And she says, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. What's the answer? It's by the Holy Spirit. The living water, it represents the Holy Spirit. And in that verse 37, it ends with God, nothing will be impossible. Right? So saying, look, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Jesus who we serve. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we can do things that we thought were impossible because nothing is impossible with God. Starting to sound like, oh yeah, that's a powerful, that's a word. But the woman's not having it. She's like, sir, excuse me, you have nothing to draw with. Here you are talking about water. You don't even have any means to get water from this well. And not only that, the well is deep. It's deep. Where are you going to get that living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? You see, the woman was focused on what she could see. She was focused on the physical. She was focused on physical limitations. She's saying something along the lines of, and this is the Jimmy interpretation, man, you don't have the physical means to provide for me. How are you going to satisfy? Are you greater than the rules? Are you greater than my bank statement? Are you greater than the policies, the promotion guidelines at my workplace? Are you greater than the law? How are you going to provide this? You don't have a pot. You don't have anything to draw water from. How are you talking to me about living water? Do you think you can do better than what has been done before? Jesus, how is this time going to be different? Yeah, I know you're calling me. Yeah, I know I need to come to you, but look how many times I've failed before. This situation is deep. This well runs deep. How are you going to get me out of this? Where is that partner going to come from? Where am I going to find that wife? Where am I going to find that husband? What about that doctor's prognosis? How is that going to change? I saw it on paper. I saw the sales. I saw the results. How is this situation going to change for me? He puts bills on my table. He pays the bills. He puts food on my table. He keeps me company. How are you going to tell me that if I leave this guy, I'm going to survive? What? Like, did you see my grades? I'm trying to keep my grades up. Did you see those grades? How is life going to work out with these results? What is that pot that you're going to draw from? What physical thing here is going to help me make this work out? What do you have? And we're in verse 13. And Jesus is like, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will be in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Stop looking at this well, this specific physical well, this situation. Because this water is not going to satisfy you. You're going to keep coming here again and again and again if you're focused on just this thing here. Because it's a well. You have to go get the water. I'm telling you that I have a fountain. I am a fountain springing up, fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What's he saying? Breaking it down to today. This way of doing things, whatever that way is for each and every one of you, can never satisfy. But my way, Jesus is saying, my way will satisfy you. You have to work hard to get water from this well. But I'm willing to be a fountain in you. The source will be in you, overflowing in you. You see, the water of Jacob's well, he's saying, is yielding a very short satisfaction. You can binge watch Netflix all you like. You will still feel the emptiness when the movie ends. You can crack open another bottle, but the pain will still be there when the hangover ends. You can stage as many photo ops and status updates as you like on your favorite social media platform. It could be Snapchat, Facebook. I don't know if you've got it staged. Hey, husband, stand here. Kids, stand here. Let everything look perfect. You know, we need to make sure that lives are displayed in a certain way. But you'll still be wishing that you had that other person's life. You'll still be upset that the photo didn't look as good as that other person's photo. Or that your status updates is not as regular as the others. Or it might be a better paying job, or a bigger house, or a shinier car. But you might still feel that that wife doesn't respect you. Or the husband's not looking out for you. See, the well that you're focused on cannot satisfy. But Jesus says, I can satisfy. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2 to 3 says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. He says, stop, why do you spend all your time? Why is it like all the things that are on your mind are all of these things that do not satisfy? Isaiah 55, verses 2 to 3. Incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Jesus is saying, look, stop being focused on the pot and the well. If you come to me, I will satisfy. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You think he's nailed it here, right? Like, it's clear now, like, I'm the one that can satisfy. The verse says, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Like, I'm hoping right now you're sitting here and already you're like, yes, why am I chasing all of these other things? Only him that can satisfy. But no, maybe not. Because the woman's just like, huh, yeah. Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Again, she's still focused on the physical. She's like, dude, what do you mean? I don't have to work anymore. If I come to you, I'll be rich. I don't have to work. I don't have to draw water from this well. I just have this water. Yeah, of course, I'm up for that. Give me the papers. I will sign on the dotted line. That sounds awesome. I'm going to get money. I'm going to get that car. If I serve you, my family's going to be perfect. Just like that. All my problems will magically disappear. That's where some of us are at. We felt that, you know, they said if I come to Jesus, everything will be perfect. All the problems will disappear. My life will be shining and glossy and I'll just be la-di-da-di-da, you know, the kids would just all suddenly get in line and all of those battles would just disappear and yeah, you know, this is how I fight my battles. Yes, it's just Jesus. It'll just all go away and perfect. That's what I'm signing up for. That's why I came to the altar, because, you know, something tugged at my heart and I was like, yeah, I need this savior because things are going crappy, and when I say yes to him, all that crappiness will just disappear. And Jesus is like, you still don't get it. Let me try a different way. Go call your husband and come here. And we see in the scripture, she's like, what? Husband? I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right. You had five husbands. But that guy I'm talking about right now is not your husband. You're just living with him. He's like, go get your man. What's the point here? He's like, she's focused on the water. She's still focused on the physical. And he's saying to her, no, 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 no. Let's face reality. Let's face the current condition of your life. Let's face the current condition of your heart. Let's face the sin problem. You've been hiding from everybody, including yourself. You don't even recognize you're thirsty anymore. Let's talk about the real you, not the things, not the well. Let's talk about the real you. Not that cute profile that you have on Facebook. Not those status updates that you stage. Let's talk about the real you. The real issue is sin. And if you face the reality of who you are, you will recognize your thirst. Because the word says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Most of us are self-deceived. It's not even like someone, like we've told ourselves lies so many times that it's now our reality, right? But the Bible tells us that our heart can deceive us. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus knows it. And when Jesus was giving that invitation, when he says, give me a drink, when he's saying, give me your heart, he's not saying it in ignorance of what is truly going on with you. He's saying, I know you, but come. But come. And it's getting deep. And the woman's like, oh, hey, right, like, how did he know that? I know I haven't met this guy before. How did he know about these five husbands and who I'm living with? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. You'll think that the queue, tears, you know, rolling down, and this is the point where she's like, oh, you know, save me. You just saw my whole life. She's like, oh, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Still things going on in her mind. There's still battles. There's still questions. And Jesus is ready to answer those questions. She's like, prophet, you're quite deep. You must hear from God, because I know that, like, you wouldn't have known those things about me if you didn't hear from him. But you're a Jew, and you don't value this mountain. You want me to do things the Jewish way. You might be thinking, I know that God is real. I know that God is speaking. But I don't know, you know, in this church, some of those people that seem all in, they make a lot of noise, you know, like those funny sounds that they make. Or, you know, like, I don't know about saying yes, because I don't know what that's going to mean for me. You know, I don't want to end up rolling around the floor somewhere, or I don't want to be called to go to some country and preach the word of God. I don't want to have to do things differently from how I do things today. I don't want to make changes. I don't want to get uncomfortable. Stay in my mountain. But Jesus patiently responds again, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And he goes on to say, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Verse 24 of John chapter 4. He's saying, look, woman or man, neither the mountain or Jerusalem matter in the grand scheme of things. The things that we're striving for are passing away. Denominations, cultures, praying out loud versus praying quietly, whether you're going to sing hymns or hill songs or Jesus culture, all of these things do not matter in the grand scheme of things. They that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. And she's like, okay, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Okay, you sound right, but there's someone coming. And maybe Jesus has been speaking to you, Jesus is talking to you, and you're saying, yeah, I know I'm going to have to make up my mind. I know I have to make a decision. But maybe tomorrow, maybe someone else is going to come. Maybe there is another opportunity. I'm waiting for that special moment, that special song to be played. I'm waiting to attend that conference that's coming up in next month where that powerful speaker is going to be there. Then I'm going to make a decision and give the Lord what he's asking of me. But Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. Now is the time. At this point, he had revealed himself more fully to her than he had done to any of his disciples. And he says, I am your only hope. There is no other. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3, 15 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. And one of my favorite verses, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Today. Jesus is speaking to you today. Not tomorrow, not next year. He's saying something to you today. Choose. Choose today. And then in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word that the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. She went to the well to get water. She was going with her water pot to go and draw water from the well. After an encounter with Jesus, she left that water pot. And a whole city, town, I didn't even study if it's a town, what size it is, but that whole place came to know about Jesus just because she had an encounter with Jesus. And look at this. Look what she runs away and says in verse 29. Could this be the Christ? She wasn't even sure of herself. She wasn't even confident. She wasn't even like the most eloquent person. She just had an encounter with Jesus. And she's like, there's something different happening. There's something different about this guy. Could this be the Christ? And many people came and saw. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting for things to line up so perfectly? Why are you waiting for all the answers to all your questions? Why are you waiting for, I don't even know, what is it that you are waiting for? Jesus says, I am he. I am he. Make up your mind. I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need you to get everything in line. We don't even know what happened to the guy that was in our house. We don't even hear about that anymore. She just left the water pot and just went on about God's business. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from true satisfaction? You need to drop that pot. It's okay to have questions. Jesus has the answers. He entertained her questions. The important thing is she stayed there and she spoke with him. She didn't disappear. She didn't run away. She stayed and she spoke with him. It's okay if you have questions, but take those questions to him. Don't take it to the well, whatever your well is. Sit and stay with Jesus. Let him answer you. Let him guide you. Let him show you. You see, the woman started off talking to what she thought was a tired Jewish man who showed up at the well with no pot But by the end, she realized that she had a divine appointment with her Lord and Savior. I don't know what type of pot you came here with today and what kind of well you are frequenting. I don't know what kind of well you're always going to, what that situation is that you keep going back again and again and again. Every time Jesus tells you, come, you're like, yeah, 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 but, yeah, 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 but, yeah, 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 but. Thinking that you could get fulfillment, maybe through your kids' accomplishments, through their good behavior. But like the song said, it will never be enough. Thinking that maybe when your spouse or your partner changes, it will make you happy. You'll finally be happy. No, it will never be enough. Perhaps if you lose weight, if you look a certain way, no, it will never be enough. Perhaps when you get enough Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or Snapchat followers, even then, it will still never be enough. You want to serve the Lord, but you're living with someone that you shouldn't be. That will never be enough. It will never satisfy you. And one or two people, as I was preparing this, I thought, need to literally drop the pot. Yes, reefer, marijuana, cannabis, I don't know what it's called today, whatever it is, you need to literally drop it. Because it will not satisfy you. You keep going back for more and more. Maybe it's alcohol. You keep going back for more and more. But you know that you're not satisfied. And those things, some of you are sitting there like, ah, not me, you know, I've been a Christian all these years. Yeah. Some of you are at every conference, every YouTube channel, seeking a word, seeking a prophet. You're there all the time. That still will never be enough if you're not going directly to Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with our true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you recognize Jesus as your Lord, not as a genie in a bottle, not as someone superhero, not as just a superhero coming to save the day, but as your Lord and Savior, you will know that He is all that you need and that He's more than enough for you. More than enough. And it won't cost you much to drop that pot. She just left it. She just left it because she had encountered Jesus. I'm going to ask the music team to come. So we started off with the song Never Enough. We're going to hear a different version of that song.
To wrap my head over the love you said you have for me, and now your spirit's alive in me, wanting to know you. To set me free, now living without you. I chased the things that this world offered until I met you at the altar. You'll always be enough, always be enough. conception. Now I am a new creation. You'll always be enough. Always be enough for me. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus for me. For me. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. I chased the things that this world offered until I met you at the altar. You'll always be enough. Always be enough. The old me's dead and there's no exception. Now I am a new creation. You'll always be enough. Always be enough for me.
Jesus is more than enough for you. John chapter 6 verse 35 says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And John chapter 7 verse 37 to 38 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Church, Jesus says, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're hungry, come. Jesus says, come. Come. Don't get religious on me. She had a lot of questions. Yeah, you can talk about what you're doing in different ministries. But Jesus is saying, come. You can say, yeah, I come to church every Sunday. You know I'm saved. But you know if you were giving Jesus your all. What has he asked of you? What is he asking of you? Some of you, for the first time, he's saying, give me your heart. Stop holding on to those vices. Give me your heart. I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. You're not that busy. You're not that busy. Jesus is saying, come. Come. I want to give a time for us to respond to his call. Because I believe that he's calling each and every one of you in different ways. So as the music starts, I don't want you to get caught up in the music. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying to you. What is the pot that you need to leave behind? And make a decision today to drop that pot at the altar. Thank you, Sam. Come to the altar. So.
your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
The altars are open,
Church. Do you thirst of drink of the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and take them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Can we go back to the, I think, second verse, please? Just want to read that. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. The word of the Lord says that if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. You've been made new. Some of you put the pot down many years ago, but you keep picking it back up. Not in action, but in guilt and in shame. And Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your transgressions from you. I remember your sins no more. I don't see you that way anymore. All I see is Jesus. All I see is that you are covered in my blood. So leave it behind. You left the lifestyle a long time ago. Now leave it in your heart. Leave it in your mind and move forward. Move forward. Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you because you must needs go to Samaria and you just must needs come to West Hudson Christian Center today. You came to meet with us like you do every single day. We have questions, but you have all the answers. We have needs, but we know that you can satisfy. And so we give everything to you, Lord. And we ask that you just have your way in every life here, Lord. That every single person will go knowing that you are the one that truly satisfies and find that true satisfaction. Because your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that which you sent it to do. So I pray that your word will accomplish what you sent it to do in the lives of everyone today, Lord. That your word will be like a fountain springing up until everlasting life, Lord. That they will just receive that overabundance, oh God, that water that never runs dry. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord. Continue your work in every heart, in every mind, and in every situation. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name.